This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Everybody, happy Friday Eve. It is Thursday afternoon and it is damn cold here in the upper Midwest, yes. But at least it is sunny. I'm Maggie Dawn. Everybody, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. As I do every Thursday, I'm joined by my friend and co-host Tom Paulswitz, a two-time congressional candidate, Navy veteran, small business owner, and all-around reasonable guy. How's it going, Tom?
It's great to be here, but like you said, it's darn cold out there.
It is darn cold. I went to have a drink yesterday with my little buddy who's got the great show, Red Follows Mine, every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. I met Dom Salvia at a joint right by the lakefront on the near south side of Milwaukee.
Ouch.
And I got out of the car. Yes. And I thought I was going to get blown away like I was Mary Poppins. It was so windy and so cold.
Yes.
But Tom, I did want to first of all say thank you for guest hosting the show over the Thanksgiving break. You did a capital job. And I also wanted to give you an opportunity because there's still time to give. We're 2 days after Giving Tuesday. But this week, I've given listeners the opportunity to shout out some of their favorite charities that they've either donated to in time or talents, or that they know of that they think are worthy of mention. And of course, Civic Media, we're supporting Giving Tuesday. You can go to civicmedia.us/giving. And we've got a list of some of our favorites, like statewide organizations as well as local ones. But I wanted to give you the chance, Tom. I know you've been always very involved in your community. If there were any organizations that you'd like to give a special shout out to this afternoon.
Yeah, I will shout out Courage MKE. I just think they're a fantastic
I called them out yesterday. They're one of my faves.
Yep, I had Brad, the executive director, on with me. He's just it's just such a needed space, and what they're doing is so
remind
important.
Folks what they do, what Courage MKE does.
What they do is they take at-risk LGBTQ kids and find a place for them to live and set them on a course for success, and that is especially hard to do. So yes. What a wonderful organization. So and just want to point them out again.
Show LGBTQIA+ youth some love, right?
Yes.
A love. A safe place and some affirmations. I think it's an amazing organization. Very proud of the work that Brad has done with that group. Again, that's Courage MKE. But again, Civic Media's got you covered. If that's not your cup of tea, just go to civicmedia.us/giving. And again, we've got a list of all of our favorite charities, both statewide and right there in your local communities. But Tom, fitting that we both have such support and affinity and love the organization Courage MKE. And one of the things that I wanted to speak with you today about was the oral arguments before the Supreme Court that occurred this week. In fact, just yesterday morning, it seems like it was many days ago, but that was just yesterday morning on a ban, a ban with no exceptions that was put into place to prohibit all transgender, gender-affirming care to minors of any variety in the state of Tennessee. Those oral arguments had held before the Supreme Court on Wednesday morning. And at the root of the question is the law in and of itself gender discrimination, right? That's one of the threshold questions. And if it is, it gets heightened scrutiny meaning it's likely going to have some constitutional hurdles, right? This is, if you've heard this stuff before, everybody, this is the difference between rational basis and strict scrutiny. There's sort of a mid-level scrutiny. It's called intermediate scrutiny if you're a legal wonk. And that's one of the big questions in this case is, how do you review these laws? And it's important to note, before I turn it over to you, Tom, for some of your thoughts, that every single court that has reviewed these kinds of laws has found that intermediate scrutiny applies. But that is not what the Sixth Circuit, the Federal Appeals Court, concluded in this case that has now made its way to the Supreme Court. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals decided, somewhat counterintuitively, like it's a law that prevents people from changing their genders through medical care that they discuss with their family and agree to with their health provider, but it's not gender discrimination, which just seems weird. But the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals declared that this law should be reviewed under a rational basis approach, which almost always leads to the outcome where the law is upheld. So with that as sort of the big picture, and also just this as perhaps even the bigger picture, I think Democrats have really struggled to have meaningful, nuanced discussions about issues relating to transgender care, especially for minors. And that what it's defaulted to is this sort of all or nothing approach, which is one of the things that I think is holding us back from having more productive dialogue about that. That's just kind of my two cents. And I'll just note this other fact about the case in Tennessee. It is also discriminatory because the sorts of therapies that they are attempting to ban in Tennessee can be prescribed and given to non-transgendered children. So I just want to be like, whether that's breast augmentations, cosmetic procedures, hormone therapy. Correct. Yep. All of those things can be given to children in the state of Tennessee as long as they are cisgendered. Cisgendered meaning your gender identity, who you think you are, conforms to the gender that you are assigned at birth or your natal gender. And that is this interest, like it is discrimination because it's one set of rules for children that are cisgendered and it's another set of rules that restrict the medical options available to trans kids. And to me, Tom, maybe that's where we can start this afternoon, because the idea that parents could order up big boobs for their cisgender daughter, but a kid that has...
Perfectly legal, by the way.
Right, yep. Perfectly legal, yep. That has genuine gender dysphoria as a trans woman, they can't have that kind of intervention. And that's an extreme example, right? But just your thoughts, Tom, as we approach this issue and whether you want to come in on the law of it or the bigger picture from how do we have better conversations about these issues?
I'm going to walk it back to the big picture for a minute. At least the way I think about it is, you know, what we're talking about is healthcare. And then what we're talking about is healthcare for minors. And when you think about who has the right to not only administer but also receive healthcare, is that that's a pretty much a given right. It doesn't mean we have affordability and accessibility necessarily, but there aren't a lot of laws that say what healthcare you can do and what you can withhold to an average person, you know. And I've had my wife and I have some family members who have transitioned as youth, and you know, these things, when I look at what happens in the process, this is not taken lightly. This isn't a spur of the moment decision. This isn't something that happens over, you know, even a 1 year time frame. This is a long time frame where there's lots of discussions, there's lots of exploratory conversations, not only from a healthcare standpoint, but also from a mental healthcare standpoint, to say, is this really what you want? And the way I describe it, is this really who you are? And it's just allowing people to be who they are. Mm-hmm. And Republicans have insisted that this is the rail that they want to use to incite their base over and over and over again. I think the last number I saw was there was $123 million spent on ads, anti-trans ads. in the last campaign alone.
Well, and the one ad, right, that everyone talked about with Charlemagne the God and one of his co-hosts repeatedly saying Kamala Harris supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and migrants that do not have legal status, basically played on loop. And all of the exit polling coming out of the election basically put this issue number three. It was inflation, the border, and this issue, which in and of itself tells you how the conversation has just gotten completely dominated by the extreme sort of polarizing ends of this spectrum. And despite the fact that trans people are a very tiny, tiny percentage of us, this was the number three issue, not like the environment or gun regulation, like trans healthcare for trans people. That somehow that's the thing that's got everybody
an
really
issue,
stirred
by the
up.
Way, that has no impact on everyone else.
Correct.
No
this,
impact.
This
on
is a really
this
big.
Is just a, this is just allowing people to live their lives the way they want to live their lives.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined every Thursday by Tom Paulsowitz. He sits in the co-host chair with me. Today, we're kicking off the show talking about the trans healthcare decision that was argued before the Supreme Court of the United States Wednesday. So as not to bury the lead, it appears based on the, just the Q&A that occurred during the oral argument that the Supreme Court's right-leaning conservative bloc is nearly certainly going to uphold Tennessee's wholesale, complete and total ban of trans care, transgender, gender-affirming care across the board. And again, this law doesn't apply to cisgendered kids who can still get every single medical intervention that is prohibited under the Tennessee law for transgendered kids. I don't know about you all, but that sure sounds like gender discrimination to me. I don't know what the hell else you would call it. And I think it's really interesting to point out that Neil Gorsuch wrote a decision a number of years ago about discrimination in the workplace against transgendered people. And he was pretty explicit about whether or not rules crafted just for transgendered people are in fact discriminatory. I'll tell you what Neil Gorsuch said then and what he may or may not have said yesterday when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network with special co-host Tom Paulsowitz. We continue the discussion after these brief messages. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey everybody, hope you're having a fine Thursday afternoon, albeit cold. It is beautiful and sunny, a crisp winter's day here in Wisconsin and beyond. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the Supreme Court oral arguments held yesterday morning about whether or not a state can ban all health care for transgendered kids that relates to their gender. All of it. And yet, continue to permit the exact same kind of medical interventions and treatments for cisgendered children. Okay for me, but not for thee. It seems to be the theme of the old GOP these days. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, back in 2020, there was an employment discrimination case that the Supreme Court heard, and it was called Bostock v. Clayton County. And the question before the court then was whether federal civil rights laws protected transgender people from employment discrimination. The court answered yes. And Justice Neil Gorsuch, one of the conservative-leaning justices, wrote the court's opinion in that case and said this: "It is impossible to discriminate against a person for being homosexual or transgender without discriminating against that individual based on sex." Well, thank you, Justice Gorsuch. I'm so glad that we got that clarified. My special guest host is Tom Paulsiewicz. Notably, yesterday on this very question of is it discriminatory, which I cannot, like, you would have to tie yourself into just absolute theoretical pretzels to not see this law as discriminatory and meriting an intermediate level of scrutiny. First of all, Justice Gorsuch basically didn't speak during yesterday's argument.
Yes, he was very quiet.
Very eerily quiet. And The second thing I wanted to point out was that Clarence Thomas tried to suggest that, oh, no, this isn't sex discrimination. It's age discrimination, and that's fine because this only applies to kids. Which is interesting, like, oh, we'll just double down on the sorts of discrimination. And it,
yes.
And also, he knows better. It's sex discrimination.
Yes.
Tom, you know, when we look at this, why do you think Democrats are having such a hard time talking about this sensibly and in a way that doesn't sound like it's so far left and out of touch with where regular people are? They may not know trans people. Like, where is the miss? I feel like we're not educating or being open to people's, frankly, understandable lack of knowledge on this topic. It's really only burst into public view in the last few years. What's the miss here, Tom?
Well, I think there's a couple. One is that at least the transgender people I know aren't looking for the limelight. You know, they just want to live their lives. In fact, the less scrutiny, the better, because the less crazy people that will come at them for a whole bunch of different reasons. Yeah. And so that goes across the entire LGBTQ plus community, is that a lot of times they just, you know, people just want to be left alone because there's a lot of crazy people who will hate them without having even met them. But I think the other part is now we're, what, almost a half hour into this show, and we've touched on the subject, right? It's a very complex subject, which is not easily digestible in a soundbite, which makes the Republicans who are using this anti-trans rhetoric, it makes it easy for them, because we should just hate these people. I think what was the commercial where it was Tammy Baldwin is for they, them.
They used it in the Harris ads too. Yeah. That was the big ad. She's and for they, just, them, and Donald Trump's for you.
Right. You just like, wait a minute. This is a group of people first and foremost, right? This is a group of people who have feelings, who are human beings and deserve respect. And every once in a while I hear somebody say that, well, they deserve our respect until we have to attack them because it riles up our base and we make money. But I think that's the overriding issue, is it's a complex issue. One of the questions I had for you, Maggie, that's been bouncing in my head is, why the age discrimination? Like, what changes once somebody, and as I understand Tennessee, I think the age of consent is 19. Mm-hmm. What changes at 19 that suddenly allows this to be okay if it's not okay for a minor?
Generally speaking, that distinction, what sort of discrimination it is, triggers what level of scrutiny it is. And age discrimination would not trigger these heightened levels of scrutiny. Minors are presumptively have more rights. The government can structure laws differently for minors, et cetera, et cetera. So if it's not sex discrimination, but is age discrimination, you're more likely to end up in the rational basis review. And then it's nearly certain that the law gets upheld. But if it is gender discrimination, which will have to be a question that the justices confront, which they have already answered in the affirmative, you should be in the intermediate scrutiny area. And then it's a much more rigorous investigation that requires basically an important government objective and that the law is substantially related to that objective. Here, that rationale is like, we're doing this for the health and safety of children. But of course, there is a body of research, and granted, right, there is not enough research in this area. That's been one of the, and that research is continuing to develop as a body of science.
Absolutely, but that statement is fundamentally not true.
Yes.
In fact, it's much more, as I understand, it's much more difficult to transition after puberty.
Correct.
Than it is to transition before puberty or during puberty.
Well, and here's a little bit of legal wonk for you, Tom, and we're going to take care of some more business. But one of the questions that the appellants, right, the families challenging this law wanted the Supreme Court to answer was whether or not this ban violates the fundamental right of parents to make decisions concerning the medical care of their children. And fascinating enough, the Supreme Court did not take that question up, which would have substantially complicated the case, right, and is, of course, one... parental freedoms? I think I've been hearing something about that from the right these past years.
So you're saying, Maggie, that the Supreme Court has already decided, now they're going to try to fit the logic to fit the outcome?
Yeah, cram that square peg into a round hole.
I haven't seen the Supreme Court do that.
So yeah, it's shocking. Can you hear the sarcasm?
Surprising.
Our conversation continues after the farm update right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Happy Friday Eve, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got you covered from local news to what's going on around the state of Wisconsin. Our mission here at Civic Media is to bring you real news and great conversation every day. So if you want to stay in the know, subscribe to the Civic Media newsletter today at civicmedia.us/email. I've got a special co-host with me today and every Thursday. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate, Navy veteran, small business owner, and all-around pretty nifty guy. We are talking about the oral arguments held before the Supreme Court yesterday regarding Tennessee's complete and total ban of health care for transgendered children. Of course, that ban permits the exact same medical interventions for cisgendered children, but prohibits them for transgendered children, overriding whatever parental decision-making that child's parent, you know, however they would decide to move forward with healthcare for their child. Couple of things here. You made this point. It was also asked about during oral arguments yesterday, Tom, and that is, in this case and the discussion that we're having right now, we're talking about healthcare for kids. This is not the same discussion, or frankly, has any of the complexities of whether or not transgendered athletes should be permitted to compete, especially at the elite levels or college levels, in the gender identity that they have, as opposed to their natal gender or gender assigned at birth. That's not this discussion. We're going to get to that this afternoon, but that's not this. And right, the point that you made, Tom, I think is really critical. The Solicitor General for the United States made it yesterday. And that is this. This is a decision made by the child. It has an incredible amount of process and therapy and multiple experts weighing in with their parents' permission that affects only that child and that family. It doesn't affect anyone else. That's distinguishable from rules or bans that address transgendered athletes and where they get to and with whom they compete, because that impacts other people. So that's, to me, that's really challenging. Like, these are parents that want this care for their child. And the fact that the way that this has been approached, and of course, even Justice Alito said, well, Europe's pulling back on this. There's not a single nation in Europe that has addressed this issue that has put in place complete and total bans on all healthcare for transgendered kids. Like, that's not true. They're taking different and sort of nuanced approaches to all of this.
Yes.
So, Tom, when we, again, pull back, right, what do you think the pathway forward is? What do you think the right outcomes are? How do we have better conversation about this topic?
Well, first off, I think it's important for more education. One of the reasons I had Brad from Courage MKE on a couple weeks ago was strictly that. It's like, I'm not sure how many people out there in the world know someone or are family members or friends or anything else with someone who has either transitioned or transitioned. And I think, to me, that adds a level of empathy that, you know, because I don't think the Republican Party is going to change their tactics. I mean, Nancy Mace came out swinging in Congress when it came to bathrooms. And, you know, but to me, this is one of those elements of, we have chosen, or the Republicans have chosen, a subset of people that currently don't have a voice and can't speak back, and have vilified them in order to gain votes and gain political donors. And so we have to be that voice. And it's continually, just like you're saying, Maggie, it's just talking about it and talking about the nuances of it. But I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, is no one is harmed.
Yep.
No one is harmed. So if you think about bans that don't harm anyone, how do they make any sense, right? If there's something that's happening that's currently not harming anybody.
Why do you
anybody,
ban something? Because
why would you ban it? Right.
Correct.
I mean, just not to trivialize this, but to, you know, the ban that it, that New York City tried against sugary drinks. It's like people were in an uproar because they were going to be told what to drink or what they could or couldn't do. And this is so far, you know, distinct from that, that this, nobody, you would not even know it was happening unless it was brought up in the legislature, unless it was brought up in ads. It would not impact you unless you knew a person who was transitioning permanently.
Well, and this is what personally makes this kind of spooky, right? And we're approaching slippery slope territory here.
Very
right?
much so.
Right?
Yes.
That's the through line between the Dobbs decision and talking about transgendered care, as well as the LGBTQ community much more broadly. These are decisions that don't have negative impacts on third parties. It doesn't. It's about personal choices and this all or nothing approach. This is what bothers me. Like, here's the place that Democrats have to say, I understand that there's confusion and fear because there's a lack of shared knowledge and understanding. Of course, we want children to be safe, happy, and well. There are legitimate differences of opinion. And in the face of legitimate differences of opinion in our democracy, that means that we withhold, we stand back from the personal choice suppression, right? From treating people differently based on these sorts of characteristics. We'll step back from the brink of that kind of discrimination. And yet, that logic isn't holding here. And that's why it, to me, is a very scary harbinger. I mean, the very idea, if I can be sort of glib for a moment, one of the justices said, oh, well, Europe is pulling back from, you know, they're taking a more limited approach to this. I don't hear you quoting European countries' gun regulations when you review whether or not our constitution
yes
protects gun rights. Like, it's irrelevant. And to the extent that you're referencing European countries' approach to this, guess what they're doing? They don't have wholesale bans. And by the middle ground here, here are some things for people to consider. You could ban surgical intervention until the age of majority. You could require review by numerous medical professionals. You could require a waiting period. You could require a ramping up of hormone therapy. I am not an expert in what these medical interventions are, but you can actually say, Maggie, care about the substance.
Most
here.
Of that stuff is already
already
happening.
Yes.
Yes, it's already there. And where do you know, like, if we start to ban parental rights when it comes to their children, where do we stop? You know, when does it become, oh, children are no longer allowed to get tattoos, or they're no longer allowed to do certain things that have a permanent impact on their body? Or at what point are parents forced to convert their children to a certain religion because that's what the law says?
Yep.
And if you think these things are far-fetched, this is what a decision like this would open things up to.
Well, and on the flip side of this very sort of similar question, conservatives riot when jurisdictions have attempted to ban the thoroughly debunked, not a thing, quote, conversion therapy, well, yes, where we will therapize kids out of their being gay, right?
Like, with numerous medical studies stating that it does not work. In fact, it's incredibly harmful.
Right. Yep. A couple of texters on the text line. If you want to join our conversation, because we're all about real news and great conversation here at Civic Media, that's 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by co-host Tom Paulswitz this afternoon. Andrew from Maine pointing out that H.R. 9218, the Defining Male and Female Act of 2024, was introduced in the House of Representatives on July 30th, 2024. It is currently in the Judiciary Committee of the House. It is an attempt by Congress to legally define two sexes based on genitalia at or before birth. Here's what that is, in my estimation. It is legislating transgendered people out of existence. It's saying to people, you do not exist. And I'll just share with you all what my 82-year-old dad had to say about this, which I thought was simple and common sense. He's like, for the entirety of human history, we have historical records of transgendered people existing.
Yes.
These people exist. Every human being is entitled to equal rights and dignity and the opportunity to live their American dream and to be who they want to be, to fulfill their hopes and aspirations. You can't legislate people out of existence. It's so offensive at a really deep level. And forgetting the offensiveness of it, it's irrational. Like, transgendered people have existed for the entirety of human history. They're here.
Right.
So are we going to go back on our most basic principles as Americans, that we think people should be treated fairly and equally?
Well, but that wasn't codified till the Civil War.
Right.
And I think we have to remember that, right? That
yes,
this grand experiment we call American democracy has made huge leaps throughout the last 250 years. And this is just another area where the same playbook is being run, right? You've got the Bible, you've got religion, you've got people saying that this is the way God intended it to be, and we can't fool with that as mere mortals, when none of that ends up being true.
Well, unless somebody's got a bat phone to GOD, like, you're just giving your best educated guess on what you think God says about these things, and your best guess is no more worthy or accurate than my best guess. And
right,
I say, that's not what God says about transgendered people.
But
that's,
I'm also
going to
go back
to democracy.
I'm going to go back to the no harm idea, right? There is no one is being harmed by people living their best life.
Correct. And Cardi, there is a caller, if you don't mind screening that lovely person. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Another text coming in here. Where did this go? Mary from Mount Horeb asked, would the result of this case apply to Tennessee or would it apply nationally? The only law that's being reviewed here, Mary, is Tennessee's ban. But if the Supreme Court affirms or allows Tennessee's ban to remain law, it will mean that the laws in other states will not be challenged. So it has national implications. It will also create incentives for Republican-controlled states other than Tennessee to adopt these blanket bans, which are facially gender discriminatory.
And I think that's up to 20 different states at this point.
It's creeping up there. Tom from Jackson, can you ask Tom what the other two issues were when that were mentioned when people were voting? I was actually talking about that. Number one was inflation. Number two was the border. Number three was transgender care issues. Oh my goodness. That's number three. Andrew,
and just so people know that voter fraud and inflation are no longer a problem.
Yeah.
So since the election, they've disappeared as an issue. Yeah,
we're not talking about those anymore.
We're good.
We're good. All fixed. No sweat. Andrew from Maine saying, if they can ban health care, should I be able to ban excessive income and grotesque wealth? Ha, I love where your head is
at. As long
as
you're a minor, I guess the answer will be yes, correct?
Yes. Mary from Tosa saying, in support of trans persons, education is paramount.
Yes.
We're going to continue this discussion. We come back, we're going to talk about transgendered athletes in sport and why that is a different and some respects more challenging discussion than should parents and children be able to pick healthcare that affects only that child. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have more with my special co-host, Tom Paulswitz, after these messages. I really want you to engage this conversation with us. Difficult, complicated, yep, but we got to be able to talk through these things. That's what we're all about right here on Civic Media, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Please drive and text carefully and keep it locked right here. This great discussion coming right back to you after these brief messages.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's there.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. I've got a special co-host this Thursday and every Thursday. His name is Tom Paulswitz. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about transgender care. We're now going to talk about transgendered athletes and with whom they should compete. And that is an entirely different question than whether or not people should be able to select the healthcare that they want when that decision impacts no one but themselves. If you want to join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we've got a great guest coming up that's going to speak with Tom and I at the top of the hour. His name is John Dietrich. He's a reporter for the Journal Sentinel. And over the last 2+ years, John has been investigating and reporting on gun violence and gun deaths right here in the state of Wisconsin. His most recent piece in that series dropped this morning in the Journal Sentinel about accidental shootings of children that involve children and the differing approaches from county to county right here in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to have that conversation coming up next, right at the top of the hour with John. You're not going to want to miss that. John is a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter. I'm really excited to talk with him. But let's talk about transgendered athletes. And fundamentally, I think these two issues have gotten conflated, right?
Yes.
That people think, well, if transgender healthcare is available, that of course means that transgendered athletes compete wherever their identities lead them. And they're actually two very different questions, and we need to stop conflating them. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to go to a different issue real quick before we go there. You know, because it's really about at least the way the advertising is going. It's about bathrooms and it's about athletics.
Yep.
So in a whole bunch of different sections of the world, there are bathrooms. They're not different gendered bathrooms. There are bathrooms.
It's just bathrooms.
And every human being needs a bathroom. For some reason in this country, we've made it an issue about, you know, everybody going to the correct bathroom for whatever reason. And I think I was at the Baird Center about 3 weeks ago, and they have a whole bunch of all gender bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, finally, we've got, you know, new construction realizing that it's much more expensive to create two sets of bathrooms instead of just going, we have a bathroom. And you can go use it. And no one batted an eye. And
well,
I think
and every woman in the world is like, yes, can we just go to bathrooms? Because yes. I'm sick of waiting in line at sporting events and
exactly.
at concerts to get into the restroom.
So there's that issue, which to me seems to be at the forefront. But, you know, it at least to me, it's a non-issue. But then the sports one, like you said, Maggie, it's a little more nuanced. But it's more nuanced than just when we talk about transgender athletes. We talk about just athletes.
Yes.
Right. And the line between men's and women's sports has slowly been blurring over time anyways. And there are far more places, especially one thing I can think about, one thing I can think of right off the top of my head is wrestling. If you think about high school wrestling, there are now many, many girls who are wrestling in high school and in college than there used to be. And at first it was, you know, young men had a hard time wrestling girls because it was like, okay, this just isn't acceptable. And then they started getting their butt kicked and they realized that, okay, maybe I better compete.
Well, and you're pointing to the thing. I think there are really important and interesting distinctions to make as soon as we start talking about athletics.
Yes.
One of the reasons that girls can compete with boys in wrestling is because of the definition of weight classes, right? So
yes.
There is an internal equalizing mechanism. When I boxed in New York, when I had sparring matches, there weren't yes. a whole lot of like 185-pound, 6-foot tall women in New York. So I was right. always sparring with dudes.
And I wouldn't have gotten in the ring with you, Maggie. I know that right
fair,
now.
Fair, would not enough, have fair enough. And there's also the distinction between elite level athletes.
Yes.
Where tiny, tiny infinitesimal differences, we're talking about blood oxygenation, skeletal structural, muscle size, lung capacity, where tiny differentiations can make the difference between someone being able to become a professional athlete in their chosen sport or not, that we can approach this and say, hey, there doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all answer to this question. And one of the other things is that I pulled probably about 12 different articles, and some of them say there is scientific basis to conclude, especially if the transgender person transitioned after puberty, that there are advantages for a transgender female competing against cisgendered females. But the International Olympic Committee just did a study and published it that said that those were minimal. But again, yes. the sample sizes there were really small. So the science is still developing on this. But I think yes. where we're conferring benefits like giving out scholarships or you're getting professional contracts and the tiny differences matter, there can be a different answer than there might be for does transgendered child Sally get to play on T-ball team with other girls in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade or whatever it is.
Right. And the answer should be yes, she does.
Yes.
Right.
She does. It's interesting to me, again, that the loss of the ability to talk specifically in nuanced areas about difficult topics has seemed to now become our dominating character flaw collectively as Americans. We can do this, y'all. We can have difficult conversations.
Maggie, my first campaign, I said this many times, is that education is basically the underpinnings of democracy. And the
yes.
more, and education does not stop at K-12 or once you're through college or whatever it is, right? Education is, as the world changes, we need to be on board with keeping up with those changes.
Folks, I'm going to put some resources in the show notes for today if you want to learn more about transgendered healthcare issues and trans athletes. So check that out at civicmedia.us. We're going to come back with JS reporter John Dietrich talking about accidental shootings involving children here in Wisconsin on this Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.